The Guardian. This edition of Chips with Everything is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace offers a unique domain experience that's fully transparent and simple to set up. And there's also award-winning 24/7 customer support. See for yourself. Head to squarespace.com and enter the offer code CHIPS to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
Can you teach a deep neural network to compose music? I can't help but think about those episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation where the character Data is trying to learn to play instruments with feeling. You know, of course, he's an android. You know, I love the Data Can Learn to Feel episodes, don't you? Anyway, certainly there are aspects of musical composition, production, performance, things like that, that we consider innate to humanity. But there are all kinds of reasons that someone who has no grasp on musical composition might want to have a machine help out. It could help you play with different tempos or moods to better understand how they fit together. Or, and this is a big thing right now for video content creators online, let's say you're making a video and you need music all your own. Having a uniquely generated composition will mean you don't have to make the choice between using a licensed track or using some generic and widely used song. So here's Ed Newton Rex of Juke Deck outlining his company approach over an AI-generated backing track at TechCrunch in 2015.
Without our code, these chords wouldn't exist. They were written in a moment that you might have missed, composed by an AI that knows how to apply musical rules to write tunes on the fly. We've built a tool that can write its own music. If you want to set the style, then you can choose it. We can give you electronic or acoustic, and if you're wondering why you might use it, imagine there's a video that you're creating, it's been weeks in the making, and you've painstakingly taken it frame by frame and got the whole take looking really super great. It's hard to find the right music. If you've got a song you like, you're not allowed to use it. Copyright means if you choose it for your video, YouTube will just remove it. But this right stuff, that's all unique. It will do it in any style you seek. The other site's prices are way too steep, so we made ours really, really cheap. Not the price that is the main draw. We think Juke Deck can be much more. The exciting thing is you choose how it goes, so you can make it calm or fast or slow. If your video is 43 seconds long and you need a song, that'll be bang on. Give you one that's no more, no less, and if you don't like it, hit refresh.
So give Juke Ed's wife said that he's promised he'll never do that again. I'm your host, Lee Alexander, and today on Chips with Everything, we're wondering how exactly this machine gets involved in the creative work of composing. We invited Ed Newton Rex into our studio. He has a background as a classical composer, but this all started when he stumbled into an intro to computer science lecture at Harvard while his girlfriend was studying there. He didn't just wander in off the street. But anyway, he was blown away. He loved the message that anyone can get into programming, and he was inspired to give it a try himself.
I started building the first system pretty much immediately, the first system behind our tech at Juke Deck, which we've now largely replaced and kind of expanded from. It was a rule-based system for writing music, so I tried to think, what do I know about music theory? What do I know about the way I compose? And how would I start to kind of quantify that? How would I start to put probabilities on different chord progressions, on different notes, that sort of thing? And I actually spent a couple of months just working on those basic principles without actually starting to do any coding, just kind of starting to think, how could this be done? And the way I was doing it was just rolling a dice, assigning different notes and different durations to different numbers on the dice. And it was very, very slow work. I used to sit in coffee shops in London between kind of singing gigs, which is what I was doing to earn money.
But that got a little slow, so Ed taught himself to code and began the hard work of building a system. The system's first output actually was a hymn. He said it was a pretty boring song.
It was really quite simple, but still, it was the first thing I'd heard from the system, and it sounded pretty good, if very simple and very limited in its scope. And that was a really exciting moment. I think that was the point at which, when I first heard it, that was the point at which I thought, okay, I should probably start to try to focus on this full-time instead of just kind of doing it in coffee shops.
So Juke Deck lets users choose from a number of broad genres, think electronic or folk, ambient, and even moods. So you could have, let's say, a folk song that was uplifting or one that was melancholic. You could even distinguish your rock as aggressive or your synth pop as tropical. One of the moods is even corporate. You know, funnily, you know right away what corporate means in reference to music. Ed says that he hopes the system is going to actually learn bit by bit more about music and how to create greater variety over the product's lifetime. Now, how about the difference machine learning has made?
So the first system I built was what's known as an expert system, really. It was a system of complicated but basically limited rules about how you should write music. We have since then totally upped our tech to integrate what's known as machine learning. Machine learning is when instead of telling a computer rules to follow, you show it a bunch of data and you get it to learn the rules for itself. And that really is, it's what's behind loads of the most recent advances in artificial intelligence, in AI. It's what's behind so many of the things you will have seen in the news, basically because so much of what we do as humans is much too complicated to be defined in a set of clearly defined rules. If I said to you, what rules would you use to write a piece of music? While you can write a very good piece of music, you wouldn't actually maybe be able to say, these are the rules I would follow. Whereas when you bring machine learning into it, and neural networks in particular are what we use, and what lots of people use at the moment, you get to the point where you don't have to actually codify those rules, and you can instead get the computer to learn for itself.
When you think about it, it's not all that different from a human brain.
So they're series of connected nodes. The nodes represent kind of the neurons in our brain, and the connections represent the synapses. And the idea is you set up one of these networks of connected nodes, and you show it some input. So you could do this with like an image of a cat, or just any image, and you can then request some output from the other end of this network. It sets off a chain reaction along these kind of nodes, these connections, which are all weighted differently. And at the other end, it gives you some answer. Yes or no, it contains a cat. The first time you do that, it's incredibly random. It has no idea about whether this image contains a cat. But if you tell it whether it got it right or not, it can go and rejig those connections and it can try again. And you do this enough times, you show it enough images and you tell it whether it was right or whether it was wrong. And this artificial brain, this artificial neural network, picks up the ability to actually tell you successfully whether or not an image that it sees has a cat in it. That's how image recognition works on the internet, on Google, on Facebook, that sort of thing. And we apply that to music. So we, instead of showing this neural network an image and saying, tell us whether it contains a cat, we show it a series of notes and say to it, what note do you think should come next? And it turns out if you do that, if you teach this network to make predictions about what notes and what chords should come next, you get to the point where actually it can tell you very accurately the kinds of notes and chords that should happen. And once it can do that, it is essentially composing music. It just has to make choices about which notes to actually select.
Now, obviously, there's more to music than the composition. There's production, sound, and much more.
This kind of algorithmic composition using neural networks is at the stage where it can do a very good job of telling you kind of what notes should come next. It can do a very good job of writing short pieces of music. It is not yet at the stage where, you know, Mahler has to be worried, right? I mean, AI music isn't yet at the stage where it's competing in any way on the same level as kind of human-composed music. But it's an interesting progression, and it's, you know, for some circumstances, it's actually doing very well.
Now, in other circumstances, the limitations are for now still evident.
We're not yet near the stage, I think, where AI music passes that kind of musical Turing test. For shorter pieces, for some pieces of music, it can sound pretty much professional. But there are certain elements of music that I think AI is still a way off kind of mastering. You know, there's whole layers of kind of emotion and memory in music. And our system and other systems like it don't really dive into that at all. It's much simpler at the moment. How it works on our website is you can kind of ask for a piece of music in a certain style, in a certain mood, to be a certain length, which kind of has a climax at a certain point in the track, and you can kind of get that piece of music for your YouTube video or maybe an ad you're making. What we're not doing is providing music that's incredibly emotional for something that will kind of hit the charts, that kind of thing. I think we're still a way off that.
When we come back, we'll ask Ed how far this technology can go, and we'll put the machine to the test ourselves and ask it to write us a new theme tune.
Create a beautiful website with Squarespace's all-in-one platform. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade, ever. Try it for yourself. Head to squarespace.com and enter the offer code CHIPS to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace. Make your next move. Make your next website.
I'd like to take a moment to recommend another great Guardian podcast, our friends at Science Weekly. The award-winning Science Weekly is the best place to discover the latest debates in biology, chemistry, physics, and sometimes even math. Recent episodes have explored the new discovery of exoplanets orbiting TRAPPIST-1 and the search for life there, the perils of teaching morality to robots, and the psychology and ethics of persuasion. With our Guardian journalists and experts from around the world, you're in for a treat. To find out more, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts or find us on your favorite podcasting app. Welcome back to Chips with Everything. I'm Lee Alexander, and our guest this week is Ed Newton Rex of JukeDeck, an AI composer that's learning to help people make their own personal soundtracks. It's important to note that there really aren't a lot of people working at the intersection of AI and music who actually think that a machine is going to be able to have the kind of story that a performer has or the human background that a musician can bring to their work. But tech can help us democratize music making and let more people get involved.
AI is a really, really good solution to this problem. You look at things like Logic and Ableton, things like the digital audio workstations that producers now use in their bedroom. They themselves have massively democratized the music making process, and AI is going to be another tool. You know, as soon as AI can really understand music, someone who's more amateur maybe, who hasn't had that kind of extensive education, can use it to kind of help them create piece of music. And that's something people have actually used our technology for already. They've created backing tracks and sung tunes over the top and sent them to us and kind of published them on YouTube and said, you know, thanks so much for kind of letting me make this music I wouldn't have been able to before. So I think there's a bunch of areas where AI music can be really useful and it will be used. And there are a bunch of areas where it kind of matters less, I think, and we will continue to listen to music made by people, enjoyed by people. And I think the two are going to kind of live in parallel with each other. Our focus at JukeDeck has always really been let's really get this AI right. Let's really work on the AI, because before you can kind of democratize that creativity, before you can use this in very useful settings like in kind of video production and other areas, it has to be doing relatively well. It has to basically understand music. Otherwise, it's not very useful. So our focus has always been let's make it understand music first, and then when it can really do that, let's open up more customizability. We've started doing that recently, so you can now choose where your music should climax. We're going to be kind of introducing more features like that. We're going to be introducing more styles of music. For us, it's a constant journey of letting people now get more and more involved in the process that goes on behind the scenes in JukeDeck's technology.
JukeDeck has already been used by Google and the Natural History Museum in their advertising. Last year, the firm won a big advertising award, the Cannes Innovation Lion, and more brands are being drawn to this possibility. So far, like we said, JukeDeck has been really good for video creators who are making things on YouTube. Ed says that's a growth area where music and control over the songs is needed.
Traditionally, it's pretty hard to come across music that you like. There are lots of kind of royalty considerations, that kind of thing. Even when you do, there are other difficulties like, you know, your track will be the wrong length for your video and you'll end up having to cut your video to the music you find. Whereas what video creators really want to do is, you know, have the music fit the video they've made. So what we do is we let these amateur video creators and some professionals as well, we let them very easily create royalty-free music on our website. So you can choose a style of music, a mood, exactly how long you want the music to be. You can choose where it climaxes, if there's like a build-up point you want, and we're going to be introducing more controls around this. And you then are delivered pretty much instantly, it takes 30 seconds or so, a new piece of music that's just yours, that you can use and that you can download. You don't have to worry about royalties and you can put it alongside your video. So we've predominantly been doing that. We've been using lots of YouTube videos and in kind of games and podcasts and even on TV. And that's been our main use case so far. We see that as a first step, and we think actually this can be useful in lots of other places as well. But at the moment, we're really focused on making life easier for people who make videos.
So Ed tells us there's actually a lot of variety that's possible within the same parameters. Every song is going to be different. JukeDeck will make different decisions each time it runs. But right now, the team is focused on helping JukeDeck learn better, which is its own whole thing.
What we spend most of our time doing is improving its capacity to learn. And, you know, that's really most of the art of what a certain part of our, you know, our research team does, is think, how can we best structure this architecture, this kind of neural network architecture, which is well known and which everyone uses for lots of things. How can we best kind of modify that and structure that so that it really well picks up the intricacies of a piece of music? Because music is, you know, it's different to, you know, the way literature or art works. You know, it's constructed in a different way. You have to be able to pick up on different features. And so a lot of machine learning researchers spend their time applying kind of domain expertise of the domain in which they're working, say music in our case, to those neural networks and trying to kind of refine the way they work. There are two sides to it. One is the kind of data you feed in, and two is architecting the machine learning models, changing the code. On the training side, it's about giving them data, giving them training data to kind of train on, and we use MIDI data. That's essentially notes and chords represented in a format that computers can understand, which means we can just pass that in there. They can kind of learn from this. And then on the other side, it's about kind of architecting those neural networks, like figuring out, you know, we might run it and see that actually they haven't picked up a certain feature very well. Once you kind of combine human creativity with the kind of creativity that we're starting to see emerging in artificial intelligence, I think there are massive opportunities there that are obviously yet to be explored very much, because all of this is so incredibly new and it's just like gathering pace every day.
Ed even imagines a world where every person could just kind of generate a soundtrack to their own life every day on the fly.
I'd be very surprised if in some number of years' time, music is not much more personalized. I think it will be. And to be honest, I think that's one of the most exciting things about this kind of technology, about creative artificial intelligence. I think it will be like giving everyone their own personal composer, actually getting to a stage where everything you do, if you want it to be, you might not want it to be, but everything you do, be it watching a video, watching an ad, playing a game, just walking around, being soundtracked in a personalized way, I think it's a really exciting possibility, and there's huge scope for what could be done with that by musicians, actually, by composers, by producers, how they could interact with that kind of system. I think we'll get beyond the point where we only listen to music in this kind of quite static way, where we listen to the same track again and again. That will still exist, and that's a great thing. The charts will still exist. Pop music will still exist in that way. But we'll have this other way of listening, which lets us listen to more personalized music. And this will, I think, expand into other forms of creativity as well, not just music. You know, it'll happen in art, it'll happen in the things we read, it'll happen in all sorts of things.
So I'm here with my producer, Ian Chambers. Say hello.
Hello.
Ian actually is, in fact, a real musician. Not only does he do really unique electronic explorations with his group, Langham Research Center, but he also does audio installations, sonic art, things like that. So I asked Ian to get together with JukeDeck and see if we could make our very own brand new Chips with Everything theme song. Ian, how did it go?
I'm quite impressed by this software. It's still fairly limited insofar as there's only a few types of styles you can pick, but the quality of the sounds is a lot better than I thought. When I've been playing around with generative music, which is a kind of similar concept, that can be very dreamlike, very ambient, and it just basically sends you to sleep. This stuff is very perky and upbeat. You can definitely see that this is a practical thing for people to use for videos. So I've gone for three pieces here, three different types of things. So we're going to listen to them in turn. The first one, this is called Holistic Comfort. Ooh. And it's in the piano genre. The mood is uplifting. That's what I chose. It's going to be our theme tune, after all. 20 seconds long. It's fast and it's orchestrated.
If that's going to be our new theme song, but I could definitely like hear that in a headphones advert or something, or a prescription drug advert in America.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a usable piece of music, isn't it? So let's move on to drum and bass, a different genre, and the mood here is aggressive. This piece is 20 seconds long. It's been generated by JukeDeck's algorithm, and it's called Tenuous Poetry.
That was definitely pretty tenuous. I mean, I like drum and bass. I don't know if you can mechanize it as easily as that, but that's okay. It's a bit aggressive.
I mean, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if this machine learning goes further and they suddenly start, you know, messing with rhythms and sounds and the computer is generating those, you know, spontaneously? Then you'd be into very interesting terrain, I think.
Yeah, without the spontaneity, it's a bit difficult. We did get the aggression, though, which you assigned.
Yeah.
So it did what it was told.
It made me feel very edgy.
Right.
Okay, so here I think is a definitely usable one. We'll have to get listeners to vote on these things. But this is in the genre corporate. The mood here is tech. How appropriate.
Corporate tech, that's us.
Tempo is fast. It's 20 seconds long. It's called Miniature Mix.
I could almost see that working. I think that even the fallibility of AI is an interesting place to play in, though, like kind of like jazz, yeah?
It's really interesting when our system does something that we don't expect it to. Maybe we've introduced a bug, that sort of thing, which, you know, you do as you're developing these things. And actually hearing the mistakes the system makes is really interesting because, you know, often actually that is arguably one kind of path to creativity. I think it was Miles Davis who is meant to have said, if you make a mistake, play the note again and play it again, and suddenly it's a feature. You know, and that's actually one way that creativity can kind of happen. Hearing some of the mistakes our system has made have been really interesting, because you listen to those mistakes a couple of times and suddenly you think, hang on, I quite like this.
Thank you so much to Ed Newton Rex and Juke Deck. This has been Chips with Everything, the digital culture show from The Guardian. I'm your host, Lee Alexander, and my producer is Ian Chambers. As always, you can subscribe to Chips with Everything on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app, and do check out our other great Guardian shows there too. If you like Chips with Everything, please give us a rating on iTunes. Something about how clever we are would be nice. The ratings do help more people come and find out about us. Oh, and have we told you we're nominated for a British Podcast Award? We're in the smartest category, somehow. If you go to BritishPodcastAwards.com, you can see all our fabulous fellow nominees and check them out. And if you like, you can even vote for us in the Listener's Choice category. That's all from us this week. Join us next week, and we'll see you then.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.